Well, I want to preach for a little while too, and I realize what time it is, and I won't keep you a long time, but I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're looking at verses 3 and 4 because this is where we're at for our preaching through this book. Just got started. We're looking at verse 3 and 4 of 1 Peter 1. So if you find your place there, we'll get started quickly and get right into it. And after the service, I want to invite you just to get to meet the Morrises and the Lumabows. They'll be out in the lobby. And Brother Daniel is going to take them to fellowship a little bit afterwards. But they'll have plenty of time to just spend some time getting to know you. I want you to get to know them. Remember those faces so that you'll know best who to pray for and how to pray for them after we get done with this. Look at verse 3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I want to preach for just a little while about a hopeful future. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us what you need us to have, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed be the God. I'm thinking of an old-fashioned tent meeting preacher that is a windsucker, as we would call him. You know the type that says, and the Lord says, you've heard that type, right? I'm thinking of one, bless God this and bless God that and praise the Lord for each and every one. As long as they're preaching the right gospel, I'm good. I'm glad for one that hollers. I'm glad for one that speaks softly. I'm glad for one that uses illustrations and one that doesn't. I like them all. I even like my own preaching once in a while, but not very often. I don't listen much. But I see this, and blessed be the God of our Father. And I think about that old preacher, bless God about this. And I don't know if that's the framework that we want to look at today, but as the scripture says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm looking at this hopeful future that I want to preach about for just a few moments. We're seeing this hope that hath begotten us, the Bible says in the end of verse number 3, again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at verse number 24 of this passage. We'll get into it probably in a couple of weeks, but look at verse 24. For those that are not begotten again, for those that are not born again unto a lively hope, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. That's a quote from back in Isaiah, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For all the flesh is as grass. And so you understand, if you're not found in that verse number 3, back where our text is, and hath been begotten us again unto a lively hope, then you're going to find yourself in verse number 24, where all flesh is as grass and it fadeth away. My friend, we've got some wonderful, hopeful future because of that being begotten again. And we see in verse 4, our inheritance is incorruptible. I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 3, we're going to look at the source of this hope. The source is found here according to his abundant mercy. And the scripture says, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. It reminds me a lot of Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, where it says, according to his mercy, he saved us. So you've got to understand where the source of this hope is. Sometimes we've gotten so cleaned up in our churches and we think that we're all so dignified. I was thinking about this. Eugene Radford was talking about it, about a mission trip that he was on and how people just kind of came in and went out in the service and they just moved around and there was a lot more movement than there is maybe in the typical American church. And I might just stop and say, it's not going to hurt anything if you all move around a little bit. God can still work, and we don't have to be quite as still as we always think we are. And people can come and go. I always think this, if I can't out-preach a little baby that's crying back there, then I'm not much of a preacher anyways. But we understand here, as we're moving around and we see this work of God that he has begotten us and this lively hope that he's looking at, we're looking at churches. We think that we've gotten so cleaned up and so dignified and so refined and so in our place and so particular about what we do. Somehow, we almost act as if we're the source of this hope. Like we've really worked up a good thing. God must be really proud of us as he looks down at us and wants to pat us on the head and say, that's a good little boy right there. I can tell you the source of this hope is not what you've worked up. It's not what I've conjured up. It's not what any of us have come up with. Instead, the scripture tells us that according to his abundant mercy, he hath begotten us. And so we see there that the source of this hope is none other than God himself. Up above where we lived, when I was a kid, there was a spring, and you would see that there would be cars pulled off this wide spot in the road as you went up this hill. We call it a hill. Maybe some would call it a mountain, but you went up this the side of this hill. And the road went on, but oftentimes people would get off there and they would, or get off of the road there, and they would have jugs and cans and baskets that would carry the cans, and they would take the water out of that. And somebody some time ago had put a pipe out of that hillside. They had obviously hollowed out a spot and made a little reservoir there. And that most times, all the time, unless it was just really, really dry, that spring would be putting out water, and you'd see people pulled off there to get that water. You say, boy, those cars showed off there. Those cars, that must be good water. Wasn't those cars that made it good water. Boy, the people carrying those buckets or those gallon jugs, man, that must be good water. It was, but it wasn't because of the jugs. It wasn't because the cars pulled off. It wasn't because of any of that stuff. It was the source of the spring that was up on that hill that somebody had dammed up and put a reservoir there, and that water would come out and you'd have that spring water. That was the source. That was the reason people stopped. It wasn't that they stopped just to see what was going on. They stopped because there was something worth seeing when they got there. And you understand that you and I are not saved because God looked down and says, boy, I think I see something good in that one over there. I believe he'd be a worthy investment for me to save. God didn't see any of that, because if he did, he'd still be looking. Because there wasn't nothing in you and there wasn't nothing in me worth coming down for. Sometimes songs will put it that somehow there was some value down there, and God left his home and he saw that value in us. He didn't see anything but his love. According to his mercy. We call that pity. Mercy. He withheld what should have been coming our way out of his mercy. We see the source of the hope. But we see in verse number three, not only the source, but the vitality of it. Look at again in verse number three. He says, begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection. You all have watched enough of those police shows and firemen shows and EMTs and all those. They'll hop up on that gurney and they'll straddle that fella and they'll be taking, what's his vitals? Meaning, what's all the numbers saying? What's that top number and that bottom number? Has he done all, is that all going good still? What's his vitals? Well, if his vitals get too low, he's in a bad way. Well, the vitality of this hope is because it's a lively hope because of the resurrection. If you ever have a problem that's greater than somebody needing to be raised from the dead, then you might begin to have problems with thinking that God can't take care of it. Now listen to what I said. If you ever have a problem that's more severe than having to raise someone from the dead, then perhaps you'd need to look somewhere else other than God for an answer. But my friend, that trumps all of the problems that you are going to have. And so when you look at raising someone from the dead, and if it wasn't enough that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he also, by that lively hope of the resurrection, Lazarus, bad news for him, he had to die again. But Jesus never did. He died, was buried, and rose again. And that's where vitals, that's where the stats are, that he is able not only to do what he'd done, but to raise you and I and take us to heaven. We went to a restaurant here not too long ago, and we used a gift card. And so I'm ordering. And so you order that 8-ounce strip, and you're getting whatever you get beside of it, broccoli and all the rest of it, and you're taking on there, and you're a big spender because you know you've got that gift card in the back pocket. Now make sure those things have money. And then one time somebody gave us one, and we went and ordered big, and then I said, here, put it on that gift card. They forgot. They went to Kroger or Food City, or we wasn't here, but Kroger up there, and they had forgot to swipe it and put any money on it. We had to leave two kids there to wash dishes for the rest of the night. Amy and I, we went on, but the kids stayed there. But when we ordered off that gift card, and we got to say, it's on somebody else, there's a reason why you can have that confidence. This one we went to here not long ago, that was a good brother. He actually put money on the card. That other yahoo, he didn't do it. But I'm a little bitter, but I'm getting over it. It's been years now. But the reason that you could have confidence is because somebody already paid without enjoying it. And a great leadership teacher said this, if you ever suffer without succeeding, then that's because you're suffering so somebody else can succeed without suffering. And you see that Christ came, the godly for the ungodly, the holy for the profane, the lovely for the unlovely. And so as we see the vitality of this hope, it's because of the resurrection of Christ. It's because of what Jesus did for us. And so not only do we see the source of it, it's God Almighty, but the truth of it, the strength of it, the vitality of it, the oomph of it, the power of it is the resurrection. And we see, get to rejoice about that. I want you to look not only that, but verse number 4 as we hasten. We see the source, the vitality, but look at verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible. We see the permanence of it. I alluded to it this morning, or preached about it actually, that gospel that did a work in your heart, it's not done doing a work in your heart. But as Peter is writing these scattered believers everywhere, he said, you've got an inheritance. This inheritance is incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. I have in my pocket, I've got this silver coin. It's a silver eagle, 2016 or so, something like that. It's amazing how your eyes go. 2016, whatever it is. 1 troy ounce of silver. It's like $30 if you want to buy it. I mean, I'd sell it for a lot more than that if you want it after church, but I'm going to set up a money-changing table in the back. No, it's just a joke right there. I'll be right beside Brother Keith Morris's table back there. $30 or so, 0.99 silver. It's worth something. And you might have all kinds of them at your house because you've been putting money in that thinking that that will conserve or preserve you sometime when you need it. Well, that's not a bad idea, I don't suppose. But you know that it may not always be worth something. It probably will be. It has been, I guess, for a long, long time, and it probably will. But I've got something that's more sure than putting $30 in this and putting it in a safe at your house or putting it in a safe deposit box or hoarding it somewhere else. There's something more sure, more secure than that. There's something more secure than you investing in mutual funds that go by the S&P 500 that you earn a certain amount yearly on. There's something more secure even than real estate and things that are tangible that you can look at. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. I'm for you actually investing and making returns on that and using all that God's giving you, honor Him with it. But there's something even greater than those financial securities that we can hold. And that's in verse 4 when it says that that inheritance is incorruptible. You may be burying money out in the backyard in mason jars. The wrong person come along and figure out where you were, what you were doing out there late at night. He may dig up the same mason jars that you put down. You may be hiding money in between your mattresses and the mattresses burn. You may have somebody else that comes in there and they like mattress money too and they may take it. That inheritance, that investment, that savings may not be as secure as what you think it is. But I'm looking at the permanence of this hope. My friend, we don't rest easy tonight because we've got a beautiful place to meet, and we don't rejoice as a church because, wow, look, it's heated in the winter, it's cooled in the summer, it's padded pews, there's indoor toilets, and there's all these things. We don't rejoice about that. We rejoice that we have a Savior that's our eternal Savior. We have a Savior that will never leave us. We have that eternal hope, that incorruptible inheritance. My friend, it's time that we understand that this hopeful future that we have is such a blessing that we may never get over it. This inheritance will never fade away. We are not in just a little religious book club where you and I come together and say, what did you learn in the last chapter? Oh, I got this out of that, and I got that out of that. Oh, let's talk again next week. This is not a religious book club that gives us perks and purpose in life and that we come together in common interest. No, sir. We're preserved and reserved for heaven. this hopeful future. If you're tonight worried about the future, I believe it's wise for you. I think Scripture teaches you ought to be wise with your finances and prepare to sit down, count the costs, and that's certainly wise and good to do. But just keep it in its right vein of thinking, and it's in its right association to what things are truly eternal. Meaning that as you invest in your retirement, do that. But invest in these good missionaries that came by tonight as well, because that investment is not for when you get to be 75, 85, 95, or whatever. That investment is for all of eternity. And so I'm not telling you to do one, not the other. I'm telling you to do what the Scripture says, teaches you to be a good steward, what you have for your family. But then also lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And as because of that, the framework that we get that mindset from is because of the eternal inheritance that everybody that trusts Christ as Savior has. And we just happen to be on the other side of it, where we're able to give toward the purpose of some people hearing about their inheritance incorruptible. You see, because you got saved years ago and you got that inheritance incorruptible that fadeth not away, it's reserved in heaven for you, it's settled, and now you, because of that reservation, because of that inheritance that's incorruptible, now you're taking some of the fleshly things of the world that we get called our pay, and we're investing in those so that people in Ecuador and people in the Philippines can also have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, in reserved in heaven for them. So if you're in verse number 3, that begotten again, according to his abundant mercy, he hath begotten us again. If that's you, my friend, if you're that kind of person, then you and I have an inheritance incorruptible. When you were kids, didn't you dig stuff out of the back behind your garage, behind out in the field, and old cans or something, and on the top it looked like it was pretty well preserved, it was pretty well normal, but then by the time it got down in that dirt, it was just disintegrated. That's not the inheritance we're talking about. This is a lively hope, an inheritance incorruptible, is reserved in heaven for you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as some of you were at a funeral today, I remind you what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens, 2 Corinthians 5:1. It fadeth not away, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It's reserved in heaven, in 2 Corinthians 5:1. It's eternal in the heavens, in verse number 4 of our text. It's for you. We have a hopeful future. I have so many apprehensions, as do you, about things that go on in our political culture, in our country. I have apprehensions about different things that are going to happen, should happen, could happen, never going to happen, wish they would happen. I have apprehensions about all those things. But there's one thing I'm certain about tonight. We have a hopeful future, an inheritance incorruptible. If you're saved tonight, you ought to walk out of this room a couple feet off the ground and just thank God, I'm saved, I'm secure, I'm safe, I've got an inheritance, I'm not worrying about it, I'm not checking out the stock market, I'm not looking at the investments page, I'm not doing that just to see how my investments are doing. I know that as long as this book stands, my investment is doing good, and I can just give you the spoiler alert, this book is always going to stand. And if you're not saved tonight, my friend, please, I beg you to receive Christ. Have that inheritance that hopeful future, because without him, you've got an unthinkable future ahead of you. May you be saved tonight. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for this time to be in your house. Thank you for this time to be in your book. Thank you for the time to hear from our missionaries. Lord, I pray that you would give them your richest blessings tonight. But I pray that you would heal some people tonight who are worried and fretting and fussing. Lord, remind them we have a hopeful future. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with us? As the ladies begin to play something through, if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. You want to come and just thank God for that hopeful future. You just want to sit there and stand there and relish in that inheritance incorruptible. It's not fading away, my friend. Whatever your need is, I challenge you to come. Maybe you need to be saved tonight. If that's you, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit. He'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be certain of heaven. They play one more verse. If God's speaking your heart, I encourage you to do some holy business with him right there. So whatever your need is, get it taken care of. If you need somebody to pray with you, we'll certainly oblige. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it is a joy to have you here tonight, each and every one of you. And I pray as we go throughout this week that we would realize that God has something bigger for us than we could ever imagine. And I want to thank the Morrisers for being here. I want to thank the Lumenbaus for being here. And I'm going to ask, if you don't mind, to slip back to the lobby. And Brother Mello, if you don't mind getting Miss Ruth and slipping out to the lobby. And I trust that you'll get by and meet them and just thank God for them, because they are our missionaries. They are going where we aren't. And I thank God for that. And I trust that you'll be a blessing to them. If the Lord would lay something on your heart to give them, then certainly obey the Lord. And we'll certainly take care of their expenses and love offerings. But if you want to go above and beyond, then certainly do that. And it's a joy to see each one of you. Brother David Mims, thank you for being here. Miss Dana, what a joy. This is Miss Anna's mom and dad. And I was worried. Kyle was sitting up here, and Anna was making her way back to family. I was afraid that maybe they were just going to kidnap her and take her back home. But she's got her arm around Kyle now, so it looks like he's safe. So it's a joy to have them. Thank you for being in church. Let's be praying one for another that God would bless us through this week and give us strength as we see all that he has for us. God bless you. You're dismissed.